Sometimes in the middle of singing a song like that, I pay attention to what I am singing and the words that I am saying, and I go, oh my goodness, that is a lot. Like, yeah, who you serve, I'll serve. Whom you love, I will love. I will follow you. If my life I lose, I will still follow you. And I go, whoa, like I'm seeing this and I believe it, but at times my heart and my actions don't always follow suit. And so it is good for me to take those moments and to stop and to pray and to say, no, God, I really will do this. This is honestly what I want. I will follow you. We're in Acts chapter 8 this morning. We're just continuing on. We're with Philip still. And I don't want you guys to like turn your brains off. Right, sometimes when we sing songs, we don't actually pay attention to the words that we're singing. And sometimes when we read scripture or we hear scripture, we don't actually pay attention to what is really being said. And I don't want that to happen. Especially this morning, right? Because we are in the book of Acts, it's not a letter, it's not an essay, but it's a narrative, it's a story. And so if it helps you pay attention, even just imagine in your mind, like what you think this might possibly look like as you hear what's happening here with Philip. So we were just with Philip in Samaria, right? He was in Jerusalem, but then he saw one of his best friends get murdered for his faith. And so he goes up north to Samaria and he tells people about Jesus and lives are transformed. And now we see what happens next. Chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, again, I don't know what Philip is doing. Maybe he's sitting on the couch, right? Maybe he's with his buddies drinking a beer. Maybe he's like in his closet praying. Maybe he's just going on a stroll in the desert. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Philip, obviously, whatever went through his mind, if he thought about it or not, he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which is just a title. It just is the queen of the Ethiopians, right? So you've got this black man who is probably dressed in really nice robes. He's a foreigner, and he's in a chariot, and he's come all the way to Jerusalem to worship, right? This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. They really didn't have books back then, probably a scroll, right? So here's this black man dressed in these fancy robes, sitting in a nice chariot, and he's got this scroll, the scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading it out loud. And now the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? It's probably really dusty. It's a desert road. Philip's running beside this chariot. He's hearing this man say out loud, right? These things that Philip definitely recognizes from Isaiah. And the man responded, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. And I don't know if he's perhaps, right, this eunuch, this black man, he says that and he's frustrated, right? Because maybe he's thinking, gosh, I got this scroll and I'm just so upset. I don't know. How am I supposed to understand what in the world this means? Right, maybe he's excited. He's like, oh, Philip, like, you're a random guy who just ran up. Do you know what this means? Maybe he's just honestly confused. We're not entirely sure, but he says, right, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And then he invites Philip to come and sit with him in the carriage. And this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Now I'm just imagining Philip there in the carriage, right? He's been running beside it, and then he was invited in. He's probably covered with dust. And he's like, the Spirit of God told me to run by this carriage. What's going to happen next? And here is this man reading from Isaiah, a passage clearly about Jesus. And he goes, is this, I don't really get this passage. Is it about the prophet himself or somebody else? And I can just see Philip kind of going, oh yeah, I'm so excited. Here's like my wide open door to talk with him. And sure enough, right, Philip responds, and he began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I don't know what you imagine in your minds. I do just imagine, like, here's Philip, and just poof, he's gone. And here is this man dressed in fancy robes, covered in water, and he's just rejoicing. He's just praising God. I don't know where that guy just went. Doesn't really matter. I'm excited. I'm hopping back in the chariot, and I'm going home. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we come before you this morning to hear from you. We don't just read your word, we want to hear from your word and to be transformed by you. I pray that you would use this time to do just that. Help me to speak on your behalf with wisdom, and I pray that you would open our ears to hear the things which are true, which would draw us closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go to just a verse in the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, and it's part of the law, the Old Testament law. And this is what it says. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. No one who has been emasculated can enter into the temple. No eunuch can enter into the temple. That's Old Testament law. And here is this Ethiopian eunuch, right? He's not from Jerusalem. He's from very, very far away, probably at a minimum a three-month journey away. How he came to hear about the God of Israel, not sure. We're not told. Right, he's not a Gentile, he's not an unbeliever, but he can't actually be fully Jewish because he's a eunuch. He's somewhere in between. He's maybe what they're called a God-fearer. Right, I've heard of this God. I want to worship this God, and I will take probably 6 months to do it. I'm going to leave for 3 months and travel through a desert in a chariot and go to Jerusalem so that I can worship. And I wonder what it was like when he got there. I wonder if he knew that he would be barred from entering the temple. We're not told. I wonder if that was in his mind the entire time of just, you know what, I know, right, if you've got like a football stadium, I know I'm not a football player, I'm not a priest, and I know that I can't even really buy a ticket to watch from like the stadium, but I just want to at least be near it. I want to go and just stand outside that stadium and hear the shouting of the people playing and the fans cheering, and I just want to be able to cheer with them from outside. It's worth it for me. All right, and so here is this eunuch, and he goes because for him it is worth it. And then he comes home. Again, don't know what that experience was like for him. Maybe he ended up being disappointed. He's like, was that worth 3 months? Don't know. He's got the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. Maybe that's how he came to know about the God of Israel. He's got this scroll and he read and he believed enough to want to go and worship, but obviously didn't have anybody to help him understand what was happening. And so maybe he went to Jerusalem all excited, thinking, people are going to tell me more. I know enough to be excited. I want to worship and I can't wait to go and meet people who know more than I do and they will explain it to me. But it certainly seems like he didn't really have anyone who did that for him. So maybe he's coming home and he's frustrated because he feels like God is not really available to me. I want to worship him. I want to seek him out, but he just doesn't seem available. And lo and behold, here is this man that's running beside him on a desert road and asks, hey, I hear what you're reading. Do you understand it? And he goes, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And Philip hops in the carriage and basically has the key that unlocks the mystery. And he says, it's about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And starting with this passage and going onwards, he explains to this eunuch, this man who has been separated, who is forced to be distant. And he says, you are actually welcome as well. Through Jesus, God is available to you completely, as he is to everybody else. And the eunuch is full of joy. He's so excited. He said, man, right, I thought it was going to be in Jerusalem that I would have my epiphany, my aha moment, and it really didn't happen. And so now I'm just coming back home for another 3 months, and it's this random man who's running beside my chariot, and he's the one who actually helps me to understand and to see, man, I am invited, I am welcomed. Let's get baptized. Now, I assume that many of you know already, right, that Jesus is the one who makes God available to us. That's probably why you're here this morning. You've probably heard that many, many times. If this is brand new to you, come talk to me after church. If you haven't been baptized, come talk to me. Be super exciting. But my guess is many of you go, yeah, I know that. I know that God is available to me through Jesus. You know, that's why I come here on Sunday mornings. I've heard many, many sermons about that. I've read God's word and it says that, I believe. But I ask you, God has made himself available to you through Jesus. Have you made yourself available to God? If through Jesus God has made himself available to you, have you made yourself available to him? If God spoke to you, would you recognize his voice? I think many people think, right, God, why don't you speak to me? If you did, then I would follow, right? Even if I lose my life, I would follow you. Whoever you love, God, I will love. Whoever you serve, I will serve. But you've got to speak to me. I've got to hear your voice. And my question is, would you even recognize it? From the Old Testament, we've got a major prophet. His name is Samuel. And we've got a story about when he is a boy and God speaks to him. And even Samuel doesn't actually hear or understand that it is God who is speaking to him. Yes, he is a boy. But it's not necessarily something that, right, when you're just like sitting there on your bed, you hear the voice of God and you go, oh, this is definitely God. Job, in the book of Job, Elihu is one of, not his friends, but the young man who speaks at the end of Job. And he says, God is always speaking. He's constantly speaking to people. Sometimes, right, it's through an angel, a messenger. Right, is that like this shiny white light glowy thing with wings? I don't know. I haven't seen that. If that happens to you, praise God. Maybe it's a friend. Right, maybe it is a loved one. Maybe it is someone that you don't really like, but in that moment you go, gosh, I'm convicted. The Lord has spoken to me. But are you available to hear that? Elihu also talks about how God speaks to people in dreams. And we go, that's weird. I don't really believe in that stuff. But I will tell you, there are so many Muslims in the Middle East who will give you story after story about Jesus appearing to them in a dream. One of my good friends, this is exactly what happened to him. And he said, I didn't even know the name of Jesus. I was afraid because I thought, this must be a demon, but I'm saying the things as a Muslim to make the demon go away, and he's just laughing at me. And that happened 7 times until his Muslim uncle said, you know, I actually think that might be Jesus. These things happen. Even if they don't happen to you, but then I ask, would we be available for them? Elihu also talks about how God speaks to us just through our bones, the conviction that we have in our hearts, in our souls. Are there things which you do, which you go, why am I doing this? And things that you don't do, that you go, I know I should be doing this, but I am not. Is that God speaking to you or not? Are we available to him? Scripture, I often like to describe as an iceberg. All right, so if you've got an iceberg and you just got the tip, and we see that, but if you know anything about icebergs, the majority of it is actually underneath the water. This is where the Titanic went wrong. You've got the tip that you can see, but actually the majority of the mass of the iceberg is underneath the water. And it's oftentimes the exact same thing with Scripture, where we just get little snippets, but the majority of what's happening is actually underneath the surface. And so, when we've got Philip here, and the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, hey, go along the desert road, go south. How many of you imagine all of this happening in one day's time? Right, God says, Philip, it's me. Right, I'm speaking through this angel. Just hop on this road, right? I want you to like go here on State Street and then just walk up, you know, get to like McKee Road and maybe towards like McKee Elementary. And you're like, gosh, that sounds so stupid. But it's 20 minutes of my time, so I'll just do it. And, oh man, 5 minutes in, right? You see some other person walking on the road and you've got this miraculous moment. This road, this is probably a month and a half long journey for Philip. Right, he hears from God, and God says, go, and he's not told exactly why. He just says, go, and Philip does it. And then Philip sees the chariot, right, and God says, run up next to that chariot. And so Philip does, but the Spirit, there in verse 29, also tells Philip to stay near it. I wonder, how long was Philip running by that chariot? Like, did he just run up and instantly he's like, oh man, he's reading Isaiah out loud. Great, here's my opening. Or did he run up next to the chariot and he's just running there all sweaty because it's hot? And he's thinking, Lord, did I hear you? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? Like, where you go, I will go, but this seems pretty stupid. Again, we're not told. We just see the iceberg. But Philip absolutely makes himself available to God. I don't think we always do. I started last Sunday, right, as I shared with you guys briefly, reading a book by the Catholic priest Henry Nouwen called Making All Things New, and Nouwen talks about how we are busy people, super busy. You, I'm sure, know that. Right? When people ask you, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. It's like a badge of honor. Right? What if you told people, I'm not busy. I've got a lot of free time. How do you think they would respond to you? Would they go, wow, that's, man, you're pretty great then? Or would they think, you're kind of lazy? What do you mean you have so much free time? You should be super busy like everybody else. That shows that you're a hard worker, that your life is useful. We're busy, right? We're occupied and we're preoccupied, which means our bodies are occupied, right? I had said too that everybody, most people have like a physical address, a home address, but you almost never can be found there. We're preoccupied in our minds, right? If our soul is the place where God meets with us, we've all got one, but how often can we actually be found in that place? Our bodies are constantly busy. We're constantly doing things. I'm sure if I looked at your calendars, I would just see it jam-packed with stuff. And then our minds, our hearts, our souls are also constantly preoccupied, overwhelmed with things that might happen in the future or things that happened in the past that we've got to deal with. And in this occupation and preoccupation, I ask, is there any space for God? Do we make any space to be available to him? We can all raise our hands and say, yes, I know that through Jesus, God is made available to me, and I praise God for that. Do I actually make my heart, my mind, my soul available to him? Am I available to hear from him? Or do I just go about my occupations and my preoccupations and wonder, God, where are you? I feel like you're so silent. We've got to make ourselves available to God in body, in mind, in heart, in soul. That's what loving him is about. He's certainly not silent. It might take time, patience, right? We see it here in Philip, how he is indeed patient, even if it's just the tip of the iceberg that we see. And part of making ourselves available to God is that we also make ourselves available to others on his behalf. All of you, make yourselves available to others because people are fun most of the time. They're fun to hang out with. You want to schedule things with your friends. You want to schedule things with your loved ones. You've got to schedule things at work because we've got jobs. This is a necessary part of life, part of daily bread. But do we make ourselves available to others on God's behalf, as Philip did, running beside the chariot and staying near it, patiently, waiting for when that door might open? How can I love this person well? There's something called spiritual direction, and what spiritual direction often is that, think of it as like two people, myself and one other person, and then a third person would be God himself. So our conversation is no longer just between two people, but it's me and another person and God himself. And spiritual direction is all about listening. Listening to the person who you are with and listening to God who is with both of you. So often in our conversations, so often in your conversations, do you find yourself listening to the person that you are talking to? Or do you find yourself in your head just thinking about what cool response you can have to this person? Are you thinking about how you can fix whatever problem this person has got? About the right answers that you have and the wrong things that they're doing? Spiritual direction is all about being a listener. I will listen to you and I will listen to the Spirit and I will be patient. This is something that used to happen often. It doesn't happen very often anymore. Because often I would say we don't have time for it. We don't make ourselves available to God, and we don't make ourselves available to others on his behalf. There's simply no time. And I ask you, how is that working for you? What's going to change, and do you want it to change? If you've got 10 years, 30 years, 70 years left, do you want to go at this pace in this way for the rest of that time? And if not, I say make yourself available to God. It's worth it. And if you're thinking, how do I do that? I need help. Where can I start? You know, like a really easy thing, I'd say 15 minutes in the morning or in the evening. That's 1% of your day. 1%. 15 minutes. Read a passage, pray. Read one verse. Don't even read a passage. Just read a verse. And wait. Pray. See. Lord, what would you have me do? What are you saying? I love that you guys are here on a Sunday. That's awesome. An hour and a half on a Sunday, once per week, that is 1% of your week. You're up now to 2% of all the time that you've got. And it is probably worth it. Join like a small group, something like that, 4 times a month. I'll give you guys a guess. What percentage of a month do you think that would be? 1%. Bingo. This is 3% of all the time that you have got. And I would say that might be time well spent making yourself available to God. He speaks. He's alive. He's with you. He loves you. The invitation is to a relationship, which is a mutual thing. Otherwise, Christianity is pretty boring. But again, it is a relationship that we're called to, which means that we not only have God available to us, but we make ourselves available to him. Pray with me for just that.